Hello, everyone. Paula V here. Welcome, welcome. I am so happy today to share with you just a fantastic gentleman. He does so much for the planet, for others, for the animals. A big welcome today to Bill O'Connell. Bill is a master Reiki practitioner and teacher. He also does equine massage for horses, which I'm very excited to hear about. And we just have so much to share today. Bill, I want to say a big welcome to you today.
Oh, thank you, Paula. Thank you for having me on your show. It really means a lot to me.
I'm just honored. And I just love the fact that you live in a small mountain town in Colorado. I love it. What a beautiful place to reside, to connect with the planet and the animals. It's so beautiful. I love it. I may have to come there someday. I love Colorado.
Yes, come visit us.
Yes.
We're very blessed to be here.
Well, Bill, let's begin. Please share with the audience, what brought you into Reiki? How did you find it? Or how did Reiki find you?
You know, Paula, it's interesting. I was in about 4 years ago, things started changing for me. I had decided to go to school to become an equine massage therapist to do massage on horses. That was in the summer of 2012. And I became certified in January of 2013 as a massage therapist. Months later, I took a two-day course with Anna Twenty. I believe she's been on your show before.
Yes, she has. Amazing woman. Yes.
Amazing horsewoman, amazing person, a Karuna Reiki master, and animal communicator. So I was interested in taking the two-day course of animal communications with her. And a year later, she posted about a Reiki class, learning Reiki, and learning Reiki to do with horses. And I thought, wow, this would be a cool thing to add to my toolbox, you know, for massage therapy.
Yes.
I thought, well, it'll help me build my business and it'll help the horses. I had no idea how Reiki would change my life. When I went into that class to take level one and level two Reiki and a day with doing Reiki on horses in March of 2014, I thought I was just going to add Reiki to my massage practice.
Uh-huh.
What a change it made in my life. From that first day when I was attuned to level one, and the next day we took level two and got the attunement for level two, I felt the changes take place immediately. I knew my life had changed. I knew I was on a new spiritual path. I was already on a spiritual path, but I knew it had opened me up totally to a new way of being and feeling.
I love it.
1 month after I was attuned to level one and level two, almost to the day, I found myself in my first ever yoga class. I had never taken yoga before, and I found myself in my first yoga class, and on that day, I became a vegetarian.
Oh.
And it's still emotional to me, you know. I can tear up even thinking about it because of how powerful it was. It wasn't like I made this conscious decision all of a sudden. It just happened, and it was just like, this is the way you're supposed to be now, and the shift took place. 5 months after that, I decided to go vegan just because of my love for the animals.
Yes.
And feeling like I had raised to a higher level of consciousness and being, and I could now just live on the plants. I no longer wanted to eat animals. I felt for them being a sentient being like they are, with feelings and having compassion for them. And it was just, like I say, it wasn't even a conscious decision. It just happened. It just shifted, like, no more.
Yes.
You're on this new path.
You know how it was for me, Bill, is because I've had to go vegetarian. I just can't do it. It's like as the energy raises, our vibration raises, we become more and more connected to the animals. When we consume a piece of meat, when this animal was treated horrifically, we take that energy in. We feel it. I just couldn't take that anymore.
Right. Are we actually consuming their fear?
Yes.
And their depression, their sadness?
Yes.
And it just, it didn't feel right anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't judge those that haven't switched.
Right. Yeah.
But for me, I knew it wasn't right anymore.
Yeah.
And then I think of my Reiki diet. You know, I've heard William Rand speak of that. Having a Reiki diet, what we consume, what we put into our bodies, could be affecting the energy that's flowing through us.
Yes.
I mean, if you're drinking excessive amounts of alcohol, or maybe, you know, smoking too many cigarettes or doing things that aren't good for the body, are we actually affecting the energy that's coming through? And I thought about that with my diet.
Yes.
So I wanted to be healthier, but it was more about the feelings for the animals.
Yes.
And, you know, thinking about them and how they would feel. And then I thought too, Paula, about, it's funny how around the world some people will consume one animal and not another.
Yeah.
And they'll say, okay, well, this one's okay to eat, but this one's not. And I thought, no, they all had the same feelings. And to me, it's just, I could no longer do that. So that was a major, major change for me in my life. At 51 years old, all of a sudden, boom, today I'm a vegetarian. It hasn't been a struggle ever since that day. I'm happy I made those decisions. I feel healthy and feel good about it.
You do feel much healthier, don't you? I know I do. I just, what a difference.
I do.
Yes.
I do, Paula. I feel a lot cleaner inside.
Yes.
In my being, with my spirit. I do. I feel healthy. I did lose a little bit of weight when I went vegan, you know, of course. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm balanced out now, and I feel good about it. But it's very powerful, you know, to have that shift in our energy field to where it just becomes just like that. You know, it's natural. Boom. Now you no longer do that.
Yes. It's.
I was also able to, you know, and we talk about this in Reiki, and I talk to my students about this when I teach it. We're taught, we never tell anybody to get off their medication. You know, if they're seeing, we tell them to see a medical professional, that, you know, Reiki is complementary to modern medicine, and we would never tell somebody not to take medication. But for me, it was very nice that pretty much right after being attuned to level 1 and 2, I stopped taking over-the-counter medications like aspirin, ibuprofen.
Yes.
I used to do a lot of physical work, so I was, you know, you get sore,
mm-hmm.
you get back pain, you take a couple aspirin.
Yes.
I went from probably taking 3 a day to taking maybe 10 a year.
Mm. Yes.
Maybe once, you know, once a month or once every couple months, have a bad headache. And
yes.
Usually it's my own fault from letting myself maybe get a little dehydrated, working outside too long and not drinking enough water. So I might take one aspirin, you know, every few months. But it was amazing that I no longer needed anything like that.
Yes. Reiki is life-changing, isn't it, Bill? It's just life-changing.
It has been the most powerful life-changing thing for me ever, Paula. It really has. And probably the most beautiful gift that I've ever been given. You know, I think it's a divine gift that we're given, and it's available to everyone. And I wish more people would, you know, the more people that are doing Reiki, I believe the more peaceful the world's going to become.
Yes.
Because it makes us more peaceful people.
Yes. I agree. What are some of the things, your most favorite things that you love about Reiki?
I would say, Paula, one of the things, there's so much I love about Reiki, but one of the things I really love about it is that it accepts everyone. Asui Sensei said that, the founder of the Reiki that we do, and I do Holy Fire Reiki like you do also, but based, you know, back to Mikao Asui, who founded the Reiki we teach, of course, in Japan in 1922, he said that it's for everyone, of any religion or of no religion. And I loved that. I thought, wow, what a beautiful thing to offer love and compassion to all people with no dogma, with no judgment, no saying, if you don't believe this way, then you're not accepted in, or you have to believe this book, or you have to believe this way to be accepted by the Creator or the higher power or God.
Yes.
I just love the fact that it's for every human being on the planet Earth and every animal. I also love the fact that Reiki doesn't have negative side effects like so many other modalities sometimes can have. It's always for our highest good. It's always in the light and in love, and it causes no harm. There's nothing to be fearful about it. The energy always increases our energy. We never have to worry really about, as long as we're in alignment with Reiki, when we're doing sessions on people or being connected to Reiki, it's always in the light. And, you know, there's never dark energies that can come in. Like with some other types of energy work, people have to concentrate very hard, meditate for hours before they do it. We receive the attunement, and we're able to that easily have Reiki in our lives just by saying, yes, we want this.
Yes, isn't it beautiful? And it's just a positive, beautiful, loving flow. Yes, I agree.
I love the fact that it's natural, it's simple. I mean, it can become very complicated. We can think about it in very complicated terms, you know, when we're talking about Reiki to people, especially if they don't understand. And we can get tongue-tied with Reiki, you know, when you start talking about universal energy coming through us and into the next person. And people are looking at you like, really? Does that happen? But it's also very simple when we explain, you know, that it's just a form of rest and relaxation that to promote healing.
Yes.
And to initiate someone's own self-healing mechanisms when they're in that state of being relaxed and in a restful piece of place. Yes. I love that.
Isn't it beautiful seeing the effects Reiki has on others, the benefits? It's just so fulfilling. Are there any stories, Reiki stories, that you'd like to share with us?
There are Reiki. I thought about that. So many things have happened with Reiki with me on a personal level, how it changed me so much. But also, I've had very powerful experiences where doing sessions on people or for people, the things that they have said to me after a session. Paula, I actually had a person say to me one time, and this is when I was only doing Reiki for probably about 3 or 4 months, when someone called me up and I went over to do a session for them, and I ended up doing some consecutive ones during a period of a few months. But they were under the care of a physician, which I checked on that first thing when they called me, and they were in a pretty depressed state of being.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to tell me that it probably saved their life from some of the sessions that we did, even especially the first session. The person said to me, Bill, that, believe this or not, this is probably, you've probably saved my life today.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so powerful. And setting my ego aside, I didn't want to think, oh gosh, I saved somebody's life. Setting my ego aside, I was able to look at Reiki that day, Paula, when they said that to me, and I thought, you know, the money that I spent to learn Reiki wasn't a lot. It's very affordable for everybody, I think, nowadays. But I thought to myself, if I never did one more Reiki session on someone, that just paid 10 times over, 100 times over, 1,000 times over. No price. You couldn't even put a price on that.
Yes, exactly.
With that person saying that to me, I thought, if I never did another Reiki session, everything that I've ever learned about Reiki and spent the time to study, spent the money to learn it, it just paid for itself today.
Yes.
In that one session. And I knew that there was so many more to come and so many more benefits to help others.
Yes.
That was a very, very powerful experience to have somebody tell me that, right, you know, and I'd only been doing it for about 4 months. And I knew then that how powerful it was and that there was going to be many more people to reach out to.
Yes, yes. Oh, Bill, that's a beautiful story. It brings a tear to my eyes. That's so beautiful.
It was, Paula. It was. It brings tears to my eyes. And I can tear up so easy. I tell people that in the class. When I teach Reiki, I take a couple boxes of tissues with me and set them around the room. And I tell people that I may be the first one in this room to shed a tear.
Yeah.
And, I also teach people that when you cry, I believe that when you cry and when you cry for another human being, that's one of your closest connections to God or to Source.
Yes, I
really believe that, you know, that it's so cleansing for us anyway. And as men, we're always taught, you know, to be tough guys. I love to teach men Reiki this and tell men about this with Reiki. We're taught to be tough. We're taught to keep all these emotions in and, you know, trudge through. And sometimes we have to be like that, of course, in life. Men and women do. But there's also a side of us that needs to cry. There's a side of us that needs to let go of and have those releases. Don't just store all that stuff up inside of us. Toxins build up in the body.
Yes.
You know, even in the energy field outside the body, our spiritual field. Next thing you know, we're angry or we're depressed. And so many men will become depressed, and it actually manifests into anger.
Mm-hmm.
So you get guys that are angry guys, tough guys, and, you know, they're angry and stuff. And it really is, it's coming from a hurting of depression inside.
Yes.
And let that out. Don't be ashamed to cry.
Yes.
Let that go. It was funny. When I was attuned to level one, I spent the first 4 months, Paula, laughing and giggling. People looked at me like I was crazy. I would laugh at just anything. I was always in this very high state of, you know, happiness.
Yes.
I spent probably the next 7 or 8 months crying at the drop of a hat. Somebody could tell me a story, or I would read something on the news, on the internet, or I'd hear about something sad. And I would start talking about it, and I could find myself in tears. And people said, wow, you've really become emotional. And I said, I have become emotional much more than I was. I've gotten much more in tune with myself, my own feelings. I'm not embarrassed to cry in front of another man or to hug another man and cry with him. I love that.
I love it, Bill. I love it. Oh, this is so fantastic. I'm afraid we do have to pop out for a commercial, but... such beautiful sharing, Bill. I just love this. So, everyone, Bill and I will be right back in just a moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Paula V here. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I am with Bill O'Connell. And we are having so much fun talking about how much we love Reiki and how life-changing it is. Bill, I'm just enjoying my chat with you so much today.
Oh, I'm enjoying my talk with you, Paula.
Oh, thank you. I love it. I would like to ask you, it was so amazing for you as you progressed, went from level one to level two. Then what triggered the passion to also want to become a Reiki master and a Reiki teacher?
You know, Paula, I think it was really divine intervention that came to me, wanting to share it with other people and realizing what a strong gift it was, a divine gift that Reiki is. I felt guided that this is the way my life is supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do with my life, to help others. To help others to be healthy, feel good, and to help them on their spiritual path. You know, as we know, Reiki is kind of a two-part thing, modality, where it is natural hands-on healing or hands-off the body, even distance healing, the ability to help ourselves to heal, to initiate the self-healing mechanisms in someone else. But then there's also the spiritual path of Reiki.
Yes.
And that was very powerful for me. And to want to help other people, you know, not so much to try to save them or anything like that, but just to initiate that spark and maybe get them on the path. And if that can help others, as we know, our spirit is infinite. And energy is infinite. When we leave this world as humans, our spirit, I believe, goes on forever. So I thought if I could, you know, help others on a path that is infinite, long after we're gone, that to me was just the strongest feeling I've ever had. And I knew that I was meant to do that. I was actually doing a meditation when it came to me. I was just trying to decide who to study under to become a Reiki master teacher. And I wasn't sure. I had, you know, like I'd mentioned, Anna 20 attuned me to level one and two, and I love Anna. And but I wasn't sure where I was going to go to study for my master teacher training. And it came to me during a meditation that I should go to Sedona, Arizona, and study with Laurel and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know of them.
Yes, yes.
Laurel Gaia.
Crystal class, crystal Reiki. Yes.
She does. Yes, she has crystal Reiki. Yes. She does some sound healing, which I also do sound healing.
Yes.
With Tibetan singing bowls and tuning forks that I add into my Reiki sessions. But it was kind of funny, you know, I told Laurel, I said, Laurel, I believe your spirit came to me during a meditation that I was, and I had never met her. I didn't, you know, but I just knew that that's where I was supposed to go. And I went and spent 3 days with Laurel and Michael at the Peace Place and received great training from them. Just love those guys so much.
Yes.
And they're such great teachers. You know, and then William Rand, of course, mm-hmm. writing the manuals that I teach out of. I became a member of the Reiki Membership Association. At the International Center of Reiki Training, and I haven't had a chance to meet William yet, but I watch his DVDs, and I've heard such great things about him. I hope to take his master class someday.
Yes, he's actually really fun. I really got a kick out of him.
I've heard such good things about him. Yes. Paula, my friends that have met him, and I look forward to someday getting a chance to meet him, because you know, he's dedicated the last 35 years of his life to Reiki.
He does. And it was so funny, the first time I interviewed him on the show, well, I just love his research, his books. He does so much for the world.
He does.
you know, with Reiki, and we're chatting on the show, and I said, oh, and William, I just love you. And we went to commercial break, and I was like, oh my gosh, I told William Brown I love him. I hope he didn't take that wrong. So I said, William, I'm sorry. It's just how I talk. And he said, no, it's all good.
And he is such a, you know, loving person from what I've watched on the DVDs and the books that I've read that, you know, he's co-written, and of course the manuals and on his website. And but I just knew, Paula, that that's the path that I was meant to go down.
Yes.
And it's funny, it almost came back to me, like, even as a child, I thought, wow, even as a child, I knew someday that I would be doing something like this to help others. And like Asui Sensei said, when Reiki came to him, you know, one of the first things he knew about it was that he couldn't keep it for himself and his own family, that he had to spread it.
Yes.
And that's the way I felt. I felt like, what a beautiful gift that we're given. And now I can become a teacher and share this with others and hopefully help create more health and wellness in the world, and especially world peace, people to become more peaceful, loving people, to connect to the Reiki energy. And
you know, Bill, the more people that we offer Reiki to, that we teach Reiki to, it's just creating a bigger and bigger ripple effect. And you know, let's talk about the 100 monkey theory a little bit. You know, that can have to do with our Reiki, the effect it can make. Share with those that have not heard of that what the 100 monkeys is.
This was something that happened with on an island. I'm not sure what island it was, but there was wild monkeys that people were watching. And what happened, it started with just one or two, it started with one monkey. For thousands of years, or through the history of these animals, they had never washed their fruit. And they watched as one monkey went down to the lake or the river, a river, I believe, and started washing his fruit. The other monkeys started watching him. They started doing it. And before long, all the monkeys in this one section on this island were washing their fruit, and they had never done that before. And they said after the 100th monkey washed his fruit, that monkeys on the other side of the island, which I believe was hundreds of miles away, or maybe even in another part of the world, monkeys started doing this. And it, people couldn't understand all of a sudden how these monkeys in this area, and then hundreds of miles away, these monkeys start doing the same thing.
Yes.
It's just amazing that by putting it out into the universe, just by doing something, how others can start doing the same thing.
Yes.
And I believe if we are putting out peace, love, compassion, kindness, beauty, other people will start doing the same thing just by it, the vibration that's put out into the universe by an action. Our actions are vibrations. Our thoughts are vibrations. Everything is, as we all know now.
Yes.
And Reiki is a vibration, right? I mean, energy is vibration.
Yes.
So I believe others are able to tap into it the same way that those monkeys did. And, you know, it would be the same thing if people were doing the wrong thing and started putting anger and aggression and hatred out into the world. More people tap into that also, and we could go the other way. So I think it's so important for us as teachers and as guides to help others on the path, to show them that there's a peaceful way to live, and a way to live with love in our hearts for others. And this is going to affect more and more people around the world. As more people are doing Reiki, the energy is getting stronger. As more people are tapping into love and kindness, a higher level of consciousness, it's going to help raise everyone's level of consciousness on the planet Earth.
Yes, it really is. And I believe one person can make a difference. I mean, one person having
Me too,
that,
Paula.
putting that energy out, you know, we can all make a difference.
We do. It's, you
yes.
know, the ripple effect of
yes.
dropping a pebble in the lake. It starts out as a small ripple, and by the time it gets to the other side of the lake, it can create a wave.
Yes.
So just by us reaching out to even one or two people, can start the ripple effect as they go out and reach out to other people.
Yes.
And that's such a beautiful thing to be able to do and to share with others. And I knew that that was my path. And I haven't looked back.
That is so awesome, Bill. That is so awesome. I absolutely love it. Oh, just such beautiful sharing. You really are an inspiration for all of us. You really are.
Well, thank you, Paula. And you are too. And I believe all of us that are, you know, doing this for the right reasons, wanting peace on Earth, that we all pray for that, and accepting one another, that we're all one.
Yes.
You know, there's really no separation.
Yes.
And that came to me very strongly. You know, the more enlightened we become, I think the more we see that we are all one, the animals included, the plants.
Yes.
That there's no separation between any of us.
Absolutely.
Good and bad. And with all the things going on in the world today, that we have the ability to help change that. And
oh, I love it. Yes, Bill. And with that, my goodness, we're going to pop out for a commercial, everyone. Oh, what a beautiful thought to finish this segment with. So everyone, we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Bill will be right back. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paula.
Hello, everyone. Paula V here with Bill O'Connell. Oh, my gosh. Are we having fun chatting about the amazing modality of Reiki? It's the happiness, the healing, the joy. It's just beyond words. It really is. Bill, I'm just loving this conversation and all the beautiful words that you're sharing with us today. Something I would like to ask you about, because I am such a lover of horses. You do work with the horses, massage and such. Do you also give them Reiki? Tell us about what you do with the horses, Bill.
I do, Paula. I had already been a equine massage therapist for about a year, a little over a year, when I decided to add Reiki to my massage practice, which I spoke of earlier and how much it changed my life. But I love the horses. I have a my own horse, a BLM Wild Mustang. And he has taught me so much. I've had him for 10 and a half years. He's been in my life. And he taught me so much about life and about who I am. The horses are almost a mirror that can reflect us and how we act and how we present ourselves to them. They show that to us, and we have to change ourselves to interact with the horse. You know, the horse is already created perfect in the world. He's going to do what he needs to do to survive. He's going to do what he thinks is the right thing. We have to show them, just like we do a child, ways to behave in the world and interact with humans. But we also, they show us how to change ourselves, to become more patient, to become a better teacher to them and a better friend to them. They're just so honest. And there's nothing, you know, pretentious about a horse. Mm-hmm. He's going to show you the way you are and what you're presenting to him. When I got into doing massage on horses, I was able to approach the horse in a different way than I had been thinking about, well, you have to train your horse to do this, or you teach your horse to do that. All of a sudden, I was able to go into a corral or a round pen with a horse and show him that I'm there different than everybody else that you've interacted with. I'm here to help you. This is all about you. I don't have to expect anything from you. I'm not expecting you to, you know, do anything that you've been trained to do. I'm here to help you to feel good and to help you to initiate your, with massage, we also initiate the self-healing mechanisms in the horse. To help gentle horses that maybe haven't been touched a lot. I got a chance in the very beginning when I got into massage, a friend of mine is a horse trainer, and he works a lot with wild Mustangs. I was able to put my hands on a horse that hadn't ever been touched by a human in the first week of that horse ever being touched by a human.
Oh, wow.
And to show that horse that, hey, I'm here, man, as a human, but I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to show you how calm a human can be with you, and that I don't expect anything from you. I'm here, and this is all about you. And I love that about massage. One of the things that I do with them is probably 90% of the horses that I do massage on, I will take the halter and lead rope off of them and just allow them to be free with me. So I'm not restraining them in any way. I'm saying, if you want to be here and stand next to me, this is where you can be. If you don't want to be with me, we never force a massage. It'd be like trying to force a massage on a human. If they weren't in a mood for a massage that day, a person's not going to want to lay on the table and receive a massage. And the horse is the same way. But it really shows me when they'll stand with me for an hour with no one holding them or not tied up. They're free to roam. They're free to run around me, do whatever they want to do, and then come right back.
Yes.
A lot of times they will have a release and they will run from you, or they'll move real quick. They'll walk away 10 feet. They'll turn around and look at you when when they've had a release, or whether it's physical or emotional, or mental or psychological release. But they'll come right back and stand next to you.
Yes.
And then I know, oh, you want to be with me to do this. It's funny, you'll be working on, you're doing massage on a horse, you'll touch a certain part, Paula, of the body, and the horse will just start yawning. And I'll say, it's kind of like he pushed his yawn button. He's not tired, but he'll just yawn 6, 7, 8 times in a row. Huge, big yawns. And that's just emotional releases they're having. They'll start licking and chewing. All of a sudden, you're working on them somewhere, and you'll be on a certain muscle, you're massaging them, and all of a sudden they just start licking and chewing, licking and chew. I've had them just raise their head up in the air and just start biting at the air. Or they'll raise a leg, just hold their hind leg out all of a sudden. It's just releases that they're having. And I love that, to be able to help the horse to do that.
I love it. Oh, that's got to be so fascinating. That is just so amazing. Oh, and I can't imagine giving Reiki to wild horses. What a dream come true that would be.
It was the ones I've worked with. It's been a true blessing and gift to be able to do this with horses, to touch them in the first week of them ever being touched by a human.
Yes.
And to show them that we have,
yes,
compassion for them and a soft, gentle touch.
Yes.
I often say, if the horse gets tough, sometimes you have to lower your energy and become softer with them, just like we do with people.
Yes.
If we get too rough, you're not going to get rough with a 1,200-pound animal.
Yes.
You have to lower your energy and show him that you can be soft and gentle and bring him back to that soft, gentle place.
Yes. I love Oh, that is so awesome, Bill. That is, must be a beautiful thing. Go ahead.
I just did a massage on a horse here a couple weeks ago, 40 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And a friend of mine has her, in a rescue. A friend of mine that runs a horse rescue has her at her rescue, and I volunteer there to do massage and Reiki. And this horse stood in the pasture with me. There was another couple of horses loose in the pasture, a couple of dogs, goats, and she stood the whole time, Paula, for probably an hour and 20 minutes, never tied, never with a rope or anything or halter, and just wanted to be there with me when I did massage and Reiki on her or for her. And it was a beautiful experience to see, the look in her eye and for her to know that I was totally there just for her.
Giving that energy to animals is so fulfilling. I have property in a town called Centralia, Washington, where my goal is to have an animal rescue and Reiki retreat center. And I when I'm down there, and years ago when I first started Reiki, I'd go down there and give Reiki to the deer and everything I would see. And one time out in the yard, a deer came in and I started sending Reiki, and that deer laid down for me, and it laid there for 2 hours
Isn't that
in the
so
front
cool?
yard. It's just so amazing. It's Oh, I
And
could
there's,
go an hour on animal Reiki.
oh, me too, Paula. I just love it.
Love it.
It was funny that this horse that I just worked on had some issues in her right hind leg, where she had some injuries prior that we don't even know about. But she was reluctant to have me do massage on it, and even to have my hands on her leg. She was guarding it. But when I was able to do Reiki off the body, just a few inches away from her leg, that was amazing. I could feel the energy flowing through her leg, like we do with people, and to have her just stand there and look back at me and know what I was doing and moving the energy in her leg, and never moved a muscle. She stood there for 5 minutes while I did that, I love that. And the horses are just so special. All the animals are.
Aren't they?
And there's, I learned with animal communications with Anna Twinney that, we have that ability to communicate with animals. I'm not an animal communicator. I try to use that, she taught me. But we have these abilities that we don't even know.
Yes, that we haven't even tapped
Right.
into. I know. Isn't it exciting, Bill?
Oh, it is. And that's the exciting thing, even with Reiki sometimes, is the mystery of it.
Yes.
As in Japan, a Reiki master is called a third level is called Shinpiden. And that means mystery teaching. And that's what we're really teaching. Some of this is some of it can be very well easily explained how it works. And if you touch somebody, the power of touch is very, very powerful, probably one of the most powerful things in the world. But also there's things that we don't know that are going on when Reiki works on someone's spiritual level or psychological level that we can't see what's happening. That's the mystery of it. The mystery of the universe, the mystery of the creator,
And we can just trust.
and trust.
Yes.
Exactly.
Bill, for the listeners out there that would like to contact you and possibly, even take a class, can you please share your website information with us, please?
Yes. We've just put my website together in the last couple months. It's a brand new website. It's the name of my business, Light Time Journeys. So it's at www.lighttimejourneys.com.
I love it. With about just a couple more minutes left till we have to say goodbye, Bill, what last words would you like to say to the listeners who may be considering receiving Reiki or learning Reiki that aren't aware of how amazing it is? What would you say to them?
I would say be open be open-minded to things that we don't always know about and can't explain. Pray about it. I think when a person even starts thinking about taking a Reiki class, there's energy in the universe that comes to them that will help guide them if it's right for them at that time in their life. I believe Reiki is right for everyone, but at certain times of a person's life, it comes to them. I often say even we don't find Reiki, it finds us.
Yes, yes.
But be open-minded. Have love in your heart. Try to be more peaceful in the world, and think about peace. Think about forgiveness of others. None of us are perfect, but we are. We're perfect and we're not. But accept people for where they are, and know that it's a beautiful path to be on, and life-changing, and it's unlimited amount of energy that can we can tap into. I believe that it's even where we work with Reiki is a very small place right now, that it's unlimited, and the more people that are doing Reiki, the stronger the energy is getting on the earth, the more peaceful people are going to become, the more chance we have for world peace.
Yes, yes.
And know that it can do no harm. It's always there for your highest good. And it's just such a beautiful modality and life-changing. And it's available for everyone. I say, and other people have said this, but I love the saying, Paula, that the sun shines the same on everyone.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yes.
You know, it doesn't limit its light.
Yes.
On any one person. If everybody stands in a field, they all receive the same amount of sun.
Yes.
Only if they decide that they don't want the sun or the light, they can go into the shade.
Yes.
But if you stand there, it's the same for all of us.
Yes, I love that. What beautiful last words for everyone today. This has been just such a beautiful show. I am so grateful, Bill. I just really am honored to have had you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be on your show. You're doing such great things in the world by spreading Reiki like this.
Oh, thank you so much. And I want to say thank you to all of our listeners out there in the U.S. and around the world. Love, hugs, and blessings, and a happy day to everyone. Love, hugs, and blessings to you, Bill. Happy day.
Same to you, Paula, and to all the listeners out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this. And love and light to you all.
Oh, thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.